are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. Also, make sure that you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. And yes, we are continuing to cover your Milwaukee Brewers throughout the offseason here, so I appreciate your continued support here. Hopefully, you're all getting ready for a good holiday season. Hopefully, you're all locked in to the offseason for the Brewers. Hopefully, a lot of big moves left to come. And hopefully, the upcoming lockout does not ruin this offseason for us. But it looks like we are headed towards a lockout. Hate to put a big bummer at the beginning of the podcast, but some comments from Commissioner Rob Manfred on Thursday certainly leads us to believe that there will be a lockout. That does not necessarily mean there will be a pause of transactions, although that is most likely to happen. So it could be a very, very depressing and long month of December until all of that gets figured out. But this is our Friday podcast, so this will be our mailbag podcast. Once again, I forgot to ask for questions ahead of time, so don't have a lot for this episode. Really just got one question that we're going to get into, and then we will be talking about some other things, particularly some minor league signings that the Brewers made, as well as the MVP voting that came out. Some interesting nuggets in there that I wanted to discuss. But let's start with your questions. And as always, we got a question from our faithful listener, Nick Gagas, on Twitter. He says, what does Jose Barrios' deal of 7 years and $131 million do for Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns' potential contracts or contract extensions? So the Toronto Blue Jays, in case you missed it, they locked up Jose Barrios for 7 years and $131 million, as I said, buying out the last couple of years of his arbitration and then buying out a couple more of his free agent years, which is what a lot of teams typically will try to do with some of their star players at the end of their arbitration years, try to buy out those last couple and then extend them through the first couple of years of their free agent season. So, you know, we've touched on that a little bit on the podcast already, the Brewers potentially doing that with either Woodruff and or Burns. I think it's a little bit early for both of them as they're still under control for three more years. I did want to note the specifics of the Barrios deal. He got a $5 million signing bonus. He gets $10 million in 2022 and $15 million in 2023. I think those were his last two arbitration years. And then $17 million in 2024, $18 million in years 25 through 26, and then $24 million in years 27 through 28. So this deal very backloaded the way the Blue Jays did it. I typically like to try to spread it out evenly across, you know, all the years, but obviously don't have a look into the Blue Jays' financials. They thought it fitting to backload the deal, which I think is very risky. And that's something I just wanted to bring up in general, is that signing starting pitchers long-term and, you know, signing, extending them even to long-term deals is highly, highly risky, especially in today's games where pitchers seem more fragile than ever. Now, the Brewers do a pretty good job. You know, I hate to use the word baby because that seems like such a bad connotation, but, you know, they do kind of baby their starters a little bit and don't allow them to go, you know, too deep in the games and keep them rested. I mean, if that was ever any evidence of the way that Craig Counsell and the Brewers manage their starting pitchers, Corbin Burns did not come back on short rest for game four of the NLDS. And I'm not saying that would have mattered. The Brewers still have to score runs to win there. But, you know, that was a bit surprising that you wouldn't use the eventual Cy Young winner when your season on the line. But that just tells you they're not going to deviate from that path. And they have the luxury to do that because they have such a deep group of starting pitchers. So, I think that bodes well for the futures of both Woodruff and Burns. But still, anytime you're locking up a starting pitcher and you're locking in guaranteed money to a starting pitcher for 5, 6, 7 years, that is highly risky. The chances are very good that at least one or two of those years, that pitcher is going to be hurt and not give you the innings that you were hoping for. And, you know, if they happen to need Tommy John surgery, you're looking at potentially losing 2 years of that contract, and then who knows what they're going to be like after that. So, you know, signing starting pitchers to long-term deals, I typically want to try to avoid that because it is very risky. Now, you know, the deal for Berríos, I mean, that's not a ton of money for, you know, a mid to big market team, which I think the Brewers should at least be a mid-market team with the fan base they have, the money they bring in. You know, they've now made the postseason 4 years in a row. I think they should be spending more like a mid-market team with a payroll somewhere in the 130s, 140s. But still, you got to be smart with the money that you hand out and just locking yourself into that type of money long-term for a pitcher who could one day, you know, feel a tug at his elbow and he's gone for 2 years. That's just, it's highly, highly risky. Having said that, you know, like I said, I love Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns. Would love for them both to stick around for a while. So if the Brewers wanted to do that, I think the Berríos deal is a good good comparison, probably more so for Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff has 3 more years of arbitration left, which is why I would not be too quick to try to make an extension with him right now. But projections have him making $7 million in 2022. You know, with a normal increment for arbitration, that probably puts him at $11 or $12 million for 2023, and then around $15, $17 million for 2024 through arbitration. So, you know, while that's not locked in, guaranteed, that's pretty much what the Brewers are going to be paying him over the next 3 years. And then, you know, I could see them, if the Brewers wanted to extend him, they wanted to make him a long-term deal. You know, you buy out 3, 4 years of his free agent seasons for around $18, $24 million a year. Let's say $22 million a year. So if the Brewers wanted to do a similar deal with Brandon Woodruff right now, I could see a 7-year deal for around $121 million. I think that seems about right. Woodruff is a year older than Berríos, I think. So maybe you do a 6-year deal for around $110 million, $110 million, something like that. I think that would be a pretty safe deal for all parties there. Obviously, it would be very good guaranteed money for Woodruff. It would lock him in long term. And that wouldn't be such a terrible deal that you could trade it if you needed to. But that's probably what you're looking at if the Brewers wanted to make that move. Corbin Burns is a bit trickier because he just won a Cy Young, and as Vinny stated the other day, he's likely going to win another one over the next several years here. So he's going to be a lot more expensive. He is starting his arbitration clock this coming up season. That'll probably start around $4 or $5 million, and that could increase significantly after that because, again, he just won a Cy Young. So you'll probably see him push up to $10 million, $15 million before he becomes a free agent. And then he's likely going to need $25 million a year at least in to buy out his free agent years. He's 2 years younger than Brandon Woodruff, a year younger than Jose Berríos. He'll enter free agency after his age 29 season. His birthday's in October, so he'll actually end that 2024 season at the age of 30. But still, that's prime time for him to get a big deal in free agency. So that all just comes down to, does Corbin Burns want to bet on himself and the fact that, you know, he already has a Cy Young in his back pocket? He'll probably be in the running for another one if he doesn't win another one over the next 3 years. And then you hit free agency, you know, with all that great past and the opportunity to get at that point a 6, 7-year deal, you know, for $150, $200 million. So that's all just going to depend on if Burns wants to bet on himself. You know, If he wanted to stick around with the Brewers, the Brewers wanted to make him a deal, I think it probably would have to be a seven-year deal for, again, probably around $150 million, maybe more than that. I didn't really dive into the specifics with Burns because I don't think that's likely. I think it's probably best for him to go to free agency because I think he could get big money there. I think that's where he capitalizes the most. Little different for Woodruff because he's a little older, so he'd be hitting free agency a little bit older. So that's why I think it would make more sense for the Brewers and Woodruff to do an extension deal now. But for Burns, he's going to be hitting free agency at a prime age where he could still get a huge, massive deal. So just business-wise for him, it probably makes more sense to go to free agency. That's probably where he's going to maximize the most money potential there. But if he loves Milwaukee, wants to stay around in Milwaukee, I'm sure the Brewers would love to have him, but they would have to cough up a pretty good bit of money in order to do that. So I think it's likely for Woodruff, not as likely for Burns. And you're probably looking at for Woodruff, a similar deal to what Berríos got for Burns. It would have to be a good bit more than that. Probably 7 years, 160, 170, maybe 175 million for him. I love Thanksgiving. I love all the good food and treats and plenty of them, but maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with coconut Built Bar or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Built Bar has new surprises all month with limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. So the Brewers did make a couple of signings this week, some minor league signings that I wanted to mention. They signed outfielder Jonathan Davis and right-handed pitchers Trevor Kelly and Jason Alexander, two minor league deals with invites to spring training. So just to give you a little bit of information on each of these, Jonathan Davis was a 15th round pick by the Toronto Blue Jays in 2013 out of Central Arkansas. In 8 minor league seasons, he slashed 256, 359, 413 with a 772 OPS and 52 home runs in 607 games and 119 stolen bases. He made his big league debut with the Blue Jays in 2018. Over parts of 4 seasons with the Blue Jays at the big league level, he has slashed just 180, 285, 263 with a 520 OPS and 4 home runs in 122 games. He ended the 2021 season with the Yankees after they claimed him off waivers from the Blue Jays. He's a solid defender in center field with good speed. The Jonathan Davis, minor league signing here just gives you more depth in the outfield. You still have David Dahl there as well. But he gives you a center field option, somebody who has some speed. So again, just some more depth there in the outfield for the Milwaukee Brewers. And then Trevor Kelly, he just turned 28. He was drafted by the Boston Red Sox in 2015 out of North Carolina in the 36th round. In 6 minor league seasons, he has a 2.25 ERA and 288 and a third innings with 274 strikeouts, a whip of 1.148, and 34 saves. So some very good numbers in the minor leagues. Not so much in the big league so far. Made his big league debut with the Red Sox in 2019 and gave up 8 earned runs in 8 and a third innings with 6 strikeouts and 5 walks in 10 games. Pitched for the Phillies in 2020 and gave up 4 earned runs in 3 and a third innings with 5 strikeouts and 1 walk, but gave up 8 hits over 4 games. And then he spent 2021 with the Braves AAA team and was very good there. Had a 1.52 ERA in 37 games with 47 strikeouts and 41 and a third innings, 2 saves, and a whip of 1.089. So, again, he's put up some really good numbers in the minor leagues. It just has not translated to the big league level yet. He throws a sinker at around 90 miles per hour, a slider at 85, and a curveball at 78. So it does have a three pitch mix, but doesn't throw very hard. But very good minor league numbers for Kelly. You know, if anybody can unlock him at the big league level, you know, it's going to be that Brewers coaching staff. And then Jason Alexander, he's 28, will turn 29 in March, an undrafted free agent signed by the Angels out of Cal State Long Beach. In four minor league seasons, he has a 4.87 ERA in 281 innings, 72 games, 42 starts. He is currently a starter. That's what they had him as in 2021. He has 250 strikeouts at the minor league level with a whip of 1.359. He has a very low walk rate, so has very good command of his pitches, has a walk per nine of just 2.4, but gives up a ton of hits. In 2021, he made six starts and posted a 1.37 ERA in just 19 and two-thirds innings with 22 strikeouts and a 0.966 whip. The thing about Jason Alexander, a very big ground ball pitcher. And, you know, with the shifts at the major league level and obviously the defense improvement that you'll have at the major league level, he is somebody that, you know, could potentially benefit a lot while pitching for the Brewers. And you could see him, you know, see those numbers go better. Because like I said, he doesn't walk a lot. He just gives up a lot of hits. And, you know, I have a feeling with him being a ground ball pitcher that it's just the defense, the lack of shifts and positioning at the minor league level has really hurt him. I'm not saying he's going to be a dominating pitcher or, you know, come into the big leagues and light the world on fire. But, you know, he would definitely benefit from playing on a big league team and having, you know, good defensive players behind him and good scouting reports on hitters at the, you know, and where they're going to hit the ball. So I think he could potentially, you know, be an upside in that regard. So some interesting minor league signings for the Brewers there, just adding some depth in the outfield, adding some depth in the rotation, and adding some depth in the bullpen. So always good to be adding depth there. So good signings for the Brewers. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I mentioned at the top some interesting notes from the MVP race. Obviously, Brewers player didn't win it and really wasn't close, but Burns did get 1 5th place vote, and he got 3 10th place votes. Also, Willie Adames got 1 8th place vote, 1 9th place vote, and 3 10th place votes. So both Corbin Burns and Willie Adames did get MVP votes. I know it doesn't mean a ton when you finish, you know, 11th or 15th or whatever it was in the MVP voting, but that's still got to feel very good for those players to know that, you know, their seasons were respected enough that somebody thought they were MVP worthy to at least be on the ballot. So pretty cool for them. I always love it too when you look at a Baseball Reference page and it'll tell you, you know, where a player finished in the MVP voting, no matter how low it was on the list. But still, that tells you a lot about that player's season and how important they were to their team. And clearly those two were very important. You know, Willie Adames to me in particular just completely changed this team. But kind of led to my next thought is the Brewers' next MVP currently in the organization? You know, they have Christian Yelich on there who has won an MVP, but is there, you know, whoever wins the next MVP for the Brewers, is it currently in the organization? I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, I don't think Christian Yelich is going to get back to that level. I can't see it right now. Corbin Burns may have the best shot at doing it. Again, I mean, if he is as dominant as he was in 2021 and does it throwing 200 innings, you know, and strikes out close to 300 batters, you know, has that Jacob DeGrom type season, then I could see him potentially being MVP. He's probably the closest MVP candidate that the Brewers have right now, even though he is a pitcher. And I think it's even harder for a pitcher because you have to just completely dominate the competition, and there has to be an offensive, you know, it can't have a big offensive player in that league for that same season. So I think it's harder for pitchers to win it, but Burns is probably the most likely one now on the current roster. And I would probably say, looking at the minor league system, I'd probably say Garrett Mitchell is the only one that maybe has a chance down the road if he becomes that five-tool player, you know, that 30 home run, maybe a 30-30 type season player, that maybe he has an opportunity to win one down the road. Outside of that, I don't really see anybody right now in the organization that screams, you know, MVP candidate. Some very good players up and down the system for sure, but nobody that, you know, I could envision winning an MVP right now. So I guess if I had to, you know, pick a couple of candidates to do it, I mean, you got to mention Yelich in there. I mean, I guess there's a chance he could turn things back around and be that player again. I just don't see it right now. Burns is probably the most obvious. And then maybe Garrett Mitchell, if I had to pick one prospect who could do it just because of all the things that Garrett Mitchell can do for you. But even that's probably still a little bit of a stretch right now. If I had to give my honest answer, I'd probably say the next MVP for the Brewers is not currently in the organization at the moment. But let me know your thoughts. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know who you think will win the next MVP for the Milwaukee Brewers. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at ShortstopBall and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.